Science fiction and science fact seem to move closer together over time, except for the flying cars, maybe. In science fiction, artificial limbs are just as good as the flesh and blood ones they replace. In fact, we have seen some remarkable gains in prosthetics in recent years. Today's guest would know. He's in the business. Forrest Sexton is the president and founder of Spectrum O&P, O&P for orthotics and prosthetics, and he can answer some questions about his business and clients. Forrest, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you for having me.
How long have you been in the business?
I began in 1983, so I guess 31 years.
Wow. Seems like an all-your-adult life kind of thing.
I started when I was 18, yeah.
What got you interested? How does a person decide to get into the prosthetics business?
Good question. In my particular case, I kind of got assigned the education when I joined the Air Force.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it something you chose to go into? They just said, or you, when you say assigned, it was they chose it for
well,
you?
it's a strange story, but quite frankly, I asked for the longest technical training course that I could have in the Air Force, and that's what it happened to be. And it's been fantastic ever since.
What was it that appealed to you about it?
In a nutshell, right? Everything we build, everything we do is, well, the majority of what we do is custom made. So how many people get to home at the end of the day and know that they built something that really did have a positive impact on other people's lives?
So is there very little off-the-shelf kind of stuff in the prosthetics business?
Very little off-the-shelf, yeah. Everything, you know, everybody's amputation is extremely unique, and these things have to be custom-made. So I get to work with my hands every day, and I know the end product that I've made a difference in somebody's life.
So you're the founder or the president of this company, but you're still doing some of the work yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
How big a staff do you have?
We have 75 employees now. We have 10 offices located throughout Southern Oregon and Northern California.
And how busy are you? I'm just curious to know if medical science has gotten good enough at preventing amputations now that you have less business over time, or if it's still just the same as it always was.
Unfortunately, no. There are more and more amputees every year. So we get an aging population. Vascular disease takes its toll. And there's plenty of trauma out there. Still people riding motorcycles, wars, things like that. Yeah, there's a significant population of amputees in our community.
And so, I mean, how many different clients are going to come through your door over the course of a year?
We have 4 practitioners in Medford alone, and they're busy all day, every day. But, you know, part of that is prosthetics and part of it's orthotics, of course.
What is the difference?
Prosthetics is the restoration of a lost limb. Orthotics is external bracing. Commonly seen in the community, say a paraplegic may need braces to stand and walk again. Somebody who's had a stroke. People often get a brace after, say, a spinal surgery to immobilize, knee braces, stuff like that. So orthotics is braces, and prosthetics is artificial limbs or restoration of a missing body part.
Okay, so prosthetics replaces what is not there.
Yeah.
Orthotics assists what is there.
Exactly, yeah.
And how much training you mentioned that it was the longest technical training the Air Force had. How long was that?
Well, it was a year of technical training in the Air Force, but I had to go out and go back to school after I got out. It's currently, in order to become certified in orthotics prosthetics with my credentials, it's a master's degree requirement to the American Board of Certification.
So it's beyond just the building of the stuff. You probably have to know some anatomy and stuff in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Anatomy, pathomechanics, physiology, a little bit of engineering, real kind of cross-section of different skill sets.
What was that second one, pathomechanics?
Pathomechanics, yeah. The differences you'd see in a pathological limb or an injured limb or missing limb, that'd be pathomechanics. And how do we go from an abnormal gait and or set up and try to normalize the function for people? Absolutely.
So how long a process is it from and walk us through how the process works? I mean, if somebody gets referred to you by a physician or somebody, or and then, you know, where the steps are from there and how long it takes to make them the stuff, get them fitted for it, get everything working.
Somebody who's, we often see people are considering amputation if it happens to be elective because of an orthopedic injury or a progressive vascular disease. We'll see them prior to their amputation surgery. We begin working with the patient immediately after the amputation itself. We need to be protecting the residual limb, preparing it for eventual prosthetic application. And I'll begin seeing people either in the operating room or within a day or so after surgery. After they have healed the wound secondary to the surgery, we begin prosthetic care immediately. So people could theoretically be walking again within 6-7 weeks of their amputation.
You say in the operating room? You're sometimes in there for the surgery?
Sometimes, yeah.
And what benefit is that for you?
Well, it's not a benefit for me so much as for the patient himself. Like I said, we have to protect the residual limb and begin the process of preparing it, shaping it, getting it ready for eventual prosthetic application. And that the sooner we get involved in that process, the better the outcomes, because we're getting people up prior to them being down for deconditioning, et cetera. So we try to be fairly aggressive in the Rogue Valley. You have very good surgeons here, and we can get people up within 6-7 weeks.
So you know, based on what you see in surgery, you have a better idea coming out of that process what you're going to need to do on your end.
It can help. It can, yeah.
We're talking to Forrest Sexton, who's the president and founder of Spectrum O&P for orthotics and prosthetics, about the science of prosthetics and the day-to-day work in it as well. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions and comments, 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area, 800-838-3760. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Is there a favorite case of yours? I mean, one where you had to work the hardest to get a good result, but you finally got it?
Oh, my goodness. I've been doing this 31 years, and I have had so many absolutely spectacular events. I get to be there the first time people walk after a significant life-changing event. And my favorite case, quite frankly, comes up. Usually it's the next one down the road. Yeah. I've done some neat things, but... Yeah, no, I would have a hard time reaching back to identify one particular case, no.
Hmm. And so how many people do you think your company has helped over the time that you had it together?
Oh, that's a great question. Region-wide, tens of thousands probably, yeah. Hmm.
And what kinds of changes have you seen? I mean, we talk about the fact that we do see the occasional stories. I mean, the fact that we had somebody, the murder charge aside, but the fact that somebody was able to run on blades in the Olympics with the rest of the sprinters last Olympics was very impressive. So obviously we've come a long way in prosthetics. We get to see the stories from time to time. But from your perspective, and having worked in this field for close to 35 years now, I mean, how big a difference from what you were working with at the beginning to what you have now?
Yeah, that's a good question. A tremendous difference. There's been a few real kind of game-changing events that have happened over the last 35 years, but just a few. What you see mostly now that you didn't have 35 years is our ability to specialize the prosthetic and orthotic device for the needs of the client in particular. Example is they have prosthetic feet now that are designed specifically for scuba diving or walking on the beach. In the case of the Blade Runner, though, you couldn't walk in those limbs, but you sure as heck can run. So we've seen just a plethora of available technologies available to really highly specialize prosthetics for each individual's activities of daily living. Microprocessors have come into the game, which has been kind of a groundbreaker for amputees and orthotic device wearers, which has been big, which is what we're going to be specializing in an upcoming community event to kind of demonstrate what microprocessors have done for the industry for the patients.
I've noticed this. You have the Ottobock training. Is that what you're talking about on February 19th?
Yeah, on February 19th at the Country Club, we're inviting the community to come in and take a look at kind of specifically what technology, most recently microprocessors, have done to impact the lives of amputees. Ottobock is a company out of Germany, probably the world leading provider and developer.
I noticed named after its founder, Otto Bock.
Otto Bock, exactly.
Makes it pretty clear, yeah.
Yeah, good old Otto. They'll be coming to the Country Club for about 2 hours. We'll have patients, prosthetic users, discussing how microprocessors have changed their lives. And the community at large is invited. It's limited seating, about 200 people. We've already got about 100 people interested. So if you are interested, RSVP as soon as you can.
Is there a charge for it?
No charge.
No charge. No. Well, I was curious about this then, because this is not just for folks who know the prosthetic business. It's for anybody who wants to get a look.
Absolutely. Anybody who's interested in what's going on. Families and friends of amputees or brace wearers. The medical community is represented fairly heavily in this event. We'll have lots of physical therapists, occupational therapists, and physicians there as well. all of them taking a look at what microprocessors have done for the lives of people.
What kinds of things? I mean, in addition to, you're talking about the differences in designs, and I still want to ask you about the beach feet. but what kinds of things do the microprocessors do?
Well, fundamentally, I mean, in both orthotics and prosthetics, our goal is restoration of normal activity. Try to replicate the function of the human anatomy prior to the insult. Unfortunately, the control of the limb that's previously done through neurological impulses from the mind itself, those impulses are no longer functioning. They function, but we can't tap into them in significant degrees. So the prosthetic limb and or the orthosis can't respond or think for itself. We've tried to replicate that over the years through mechanical devices, but when you throw microprocessors in there, then we can take inputs either from residual limb neural responses or from forces that the limb takes itself and begin the process of the prosthesis thinking and acting in the way the normal limb would have in the beginning. So microprocessors kind of replace the human mind, and they're becoming more and more advanced. So these prostheses then can function safely and more effectively for people. Example, a gentleman named Curtis Grimsley in 2000, in the World Trade Center bombing, walked down 70 flights of stairs because he had a microprocessor knee that could allow him to reciprocate. He's an above-knee amputee, and his microprocessor knee allowed him to walk in a reciprocated gait down 70 flights of stairs, and he made it out of the World Trade Center.
Wow.
Prior to that point in time, it wouldn't have been possible.
We're talking about orthotics and prosthetics with Forrest Sexton, who's the president and founder of Spectrum O&P, about all kinds of interesting things that go on in the technology available in that business. Join us on The Exchange with comments or questions at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, or jx@jeffnet.org. If you're talking about trying to use nerve signals, is that something that there has to be some sort of implantation during the initial surgery, or is that an additional surgery later on?
There's a lot of investigation work going into that process as you're outlining it. But we currently have the ability to put sensors on the external part of the skin and pick up millions of a volt and actually identify neurological impulses that travel down the existing musculature. I can use those neurological impulses to help the prosthesis think more clearly or do what you want it to do.
We have a call for you. Here's Don and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Forrest Sexton. We're talking about prosthetics.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I actually dabbled in this field when I was younger, back in the 60s. I worked with Dr. Brooks down at UCLA during the thalidomide epidemic, where kids were born without limbs. It's really interesting. My question for you is, as somebody whose knees are kind of going away, have you ever thought about applying some of your technology it's kind of analogous to power steering, where you want to do something but having a power assist, that is kind of supplementing the joint with some kind of external device that would allow you to do things, to do what you want to do without putting the stress on the joint, if you kind of get my idea.
Yeah, so instead of replacing the knee, you're talking about actually assisting the knee.
Yeah, just kind of like, my first car didn't have, a lot of cars I drove when I was a kid didn't have power steering, but somehow power steering sort of carries out your wish and gives you some feel of the road.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand it.
Yeah, let's get a response. Thanks for that, Don. Appreciate it.
All right, Don. Well, yeah, in fact, that's a significant area of development at this current time. Unfortunately, as current technology exists, for power assist, although it exists, the size of the motors and gears and strengths it takes to replicate bipedal gait is making these things a bit heavy to make them available for day-to-day use. But that is an area where there's a lot of active research and development. And Don, I think you should be hopeful that that type of thing will exist in the near future.
Absolutely. Right now we're talking large gears.
Lever arms and everything aside. And in fact, at this event, we will be having a microprocessor-controlled brace. But it's more for creating stability than powered, if you will.
A couple of the questions for you here. Boyd in Wolf Creek hits the nail on the head with the big one, which is about insurance coverage for prosthetics and orthotics, particularly Medicare.
Particularly Medicare. Medicare is very good. Really, there's nothing that I do that is not otherwise paid for by Medicare. And in the state of Oregon, as well as California, but in Oregon, about 6 years ago, Dr. Bates and Representative Pete Buckley advanced a law through Oregon which required prosthetic and orthotic parity. That means every insurance has to provide it as a normal component of their coverage. So yes, in the state of Oregon, and they have a parity bill in California, which isn't quite as strong, this is covered. And just about anything that people need is offered, including microprocessors. We just have to justify the cost and the need for the patient. And so, yeah, it's a good place to be if you're in need of this type of service.
And Jay, No Town Given, wants to know about 3D printing options. I suppose this is about whether you can use 3D printers to help you manufacture the prosthetics.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, everything is custom made. The interface with the body itself can be rendered into a computer model, and right now 3D printing is not regularly being used because of the strength, but it certainly has a tremendous amount of potential in the industry.
Okay.
At this point in time.
And the event, again, to let the public take a look at what you got with microprocessors, is Thursday, February 19th at 6:30 at the Rogue Valley Country Club. And how do they confirm a space?
Yeah, confirm a space by calling Emily Bigham at 541-734-2435. There's also a website that's very long that you can probably get the Spectrum.
We'll get a link to it off of our website.
That'd be the easier way. Yeah.
Forrest Sexton from Spectrum O&P, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you.
Great to have you.